has been set for a public hearing as to the Guardian in the matter of creation of a commission to study the creation of the administration of guardianship, ADK 507. Justice Hardesty, you've been working very diligently with the legislature and other groups as to this guardianship, and you've conducted public hearings throughout the state. If you'd like to make some introductory comments.
Yes, thank you, Chief. As the court knows, following the amendments made by the legislature to various guardianship statutes or guardianship-related statutes, the court then undertook a review from the original Guardianship Commission of recommendations for court rules and court actions. And in connection with those recommendations, the Supreme Court, by an order entered August 2nd, 2017, just shortly after the legislature had completed its work, created the Permanent Guardianship Commission of this court. The court also appointed a number of individuals in the state to serve on the Permanent Guardianship Commission, and their names are listed on Attachment A. There have been a couple of changes by reason of changes in employment and the like of the membership of the commission. The initial charge of the commission was to develop rules and a set of forms that could be used by people who would be involved in the guardianship proceedings. The commission also was concerned about the establishment of the initial guardianship compliance office here at the Supreme Court. I'm pleased to report that the guardianship compliance office personnel have been fully hired and staffed. Kate McCluskey is the new guardianship statewide guardianship compliance officer, and she has forensic accountants in, as well as investigators in the north and in the south. Just today, before I walked in here, I received the latest quarterly report from Ms. McCluskey, and I'll circulate that to the court following our hearings today. The commission has discussed a number of topics. We, as discussed in the first interim report, have held five meetings of the full commission and numerous meetings of two subcommittees. One subcommittee was focused on developing a set of statewide forms that can be used by those persons in the guardianship proceeding process. And the other committee, chaired by Daniel Reed, co-chaired by Daniel Reed, who's here today, I see, was focused on statewide rules. The form subcommittee has substantially completed its work, and as you see from the first interim report, they have tendered some 80 plus rules on a variety of topics. I want to express publicly, Chief, my thanks and appreciation to the members of the subcommittee and to their chair, Jim Burkholm, but especially to Stephanie McDonald, an employee of the Legal Aid Center of Southern Nevada, who spent an enormous amount of hours developing the forms that are being used in connection with all of the new statutes. We believe that the use of the forms will make it easier for people to navigate through a process that is challenging to navigate through still. But we also believe that it will provide And while they're recommended principally for proper person or pro se participants in the process, they're also available for attorneys to use if they wish or modify as appropriate. We're asking today that the court consider entering an order adopting those forms for use in guardianship proceedings. As to the Rules Committee, this has been a work in progress. We have a number of rules that were submitted with this interim report, and we're requesting that the court enter an order approving the rules submitted to date. I believe there is one edit to one of the forms. I'll ask Mr. Berchtold, if he's in Las Vegas, to speak to that. And I think all of the forms are as submitted in the report. And I'll ask Ms. Reed to address the court on the forms when we get to that point. The statewide rules subcommittee has identified a series of categories of additional rules that they are working on. Some have been drafted, some have been edited, some more have to be drafted. I would expect another round of rules to be submitted to the court, I'm hopeful, before the end of the year, which we'll be asking the court to consider and approve. As I said before, this has been an enormous undertaking by these subcommittees, and I want to thank the members and their chairpersons for all of their work. I mentioned Ms. Reed. I also want to mention John Michelson, who co-chaired the Rules Subcommittee with Ms. Reed. Going forward, the Guardianship Commission has a meeting scheduled for July the 30th, at which time it will continue to work on the various issues that are set out in the court's order that created the permanent commission. The primary topic to be addressed at the July 30th meeting will be an assessment of the success or failure or modifications necessary to the revisions to the statutory revisions to the guardianship statutes that were made in 2017. As well, we're going to look at a couple of issues surrounding the funding mechanism for providing lawyers, and we're going to also develop any recommendations at that meeting and a couple of others before the end of the year on any further legislation that the commission deems advisable to pass on to the legislature. Chief, as you know, this is a permanent commission of the court, so there'll be interim reports that the court will continue to receive. It's been my goal to try to get major pieces of work accomplished before we come in here so that we're not in here every couple of months. We can deal with a number of issues at one time. So this is the first report, but it is a significant one, and I think it will contribute greatly to the practice in guardianship. Just one further comment as an aside. Many of the sweeping changes made in the guardianship statutes, things like the Secretary of State's lockbox and other areas that were vetted in the original guardianship commission, have now been implemented and have been operating, and I want to express my pride and gratitude to Ms. McCluskey and her team. Our guardianship compliance office is really running very nicely, and we've had a number of cases that they've been assisting with, and I think have made a difference in people's lives already with the work that they've accomplished. In the interest of time, Chief, I would like to invite first Mr. Berchtold, if he's in Las Vegas, or Ms. McDonald, if she is there, to comment, if they wish, beyond what I've said concerning the statewide forms. And then I'll ask Ms. Reed, and if Mr. Michelson's in Las Vegas, I don't know if he could attend today, to comment on the rules, and then you might wish to invite public comment. We have received some letters And I think the court, all of the justices have been provided copies of those letters, I think the most recent of which came from District Court Judge Francis Doherty this morning.
As the speakers, first speakers coming up, I would be remiss. We are having this public hearing in Carson City, but it's being simulcast to Las Vegas. Justice Pickering is in Las Vegas to facilitate the individuals who will be appearing in Las Vegas this date. We would ask our speakers to be to the point and brief as to this matter. And at the conclusion, we will announce a period of time which additional comments, if people feel necessary, may be provided to the court. With that, if we have a speaker in Las Vegas, if you state your name and relationship and what you wish to say, please.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. My name is Jim Birchtold. I'm an attorney with Legal Aid Center of Southern Nevada. I am pleased to serve on the Guardianship Commission, and I chaired the form subcommittee that prepared the forms that are submitted to you today. After the forms had already been submitted to the court, we did notice one error on one of the forms, specifically Form 71. What is designated as Form 71 is the notice of sale of real property. The signature block on that form is set up for a signature of the court clerk. That is not necessary. It actually only needs to be signed by the guardian. In the record, we submitted a redline copy of the form along with a final version of the form, so we would ask that that form be considered in lieu of what was submitted.
Yeah, thank you. We have the letters June 11th, 2017 with the redline and the attached. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Any questions?
And that is all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your work.
And then
Mr. Birchtold was the only person who signed requesting to speak. Is there anyone else in Las Vegas who wishes to speak? Chief, there's no one here other than he who wanted to speak today. There are others in the audience, but not wanting to speak.
Who wish to speak? We'll start with Carson. We're going to limit you to 3 minutes.
Could I ask Ms. Reed? And I saw Mr. Michelson in the audience. I saw him on the screen, so force him to come up there, Justice Pickering, because I want these two people to be acknowledged for their extraordinary work on the rules thus far. And so if anybody has any negative comments or questions to make, they can direct them to Mr. Michelson.
Please come forward.
Go ahead, please.
And identify yourself for the record.
Hello, Your Honor. I'm John Michelson, bar number 7822. I'm used to saying that. And I have the privilege of co-chairing the Rules Committee with Dania Reed, who I can see is present in Carson City.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. My name is Dania Reed. I am a Deputy District Attorney in Washoe County. I primarily represent the Washoe County Public Guardian and have done so for 10 years, and so I have attempted to bring my knowledge and experience to the subcommittee, and I'm privileged to have been asked to serve as chair of the subcommittee in order to draft these rules and try to bring some uniformity to the practice in Nevada. If I may, with Mr. Michelson's agreement, I will proceed just briefly. We are aware that we are submitting a simple draft of 6 rules for approval. One of the things that the subcommittee has tried to do is to identify areas either in the statute or within the newly passed legislation that either represent gaps or inconsistencies in the practice. The subcommittee members are all practitioners, and we bring a variety of experience as well as a variety of perspectives based on our different types of practice. And we're able to identify some areas that we felt needed immediate attention in order to bring some uniformity and predictability to some of the more procedural aspects of guardianship. There's a little bit of substance in here, primarily regarding the establishment of a rule for guardianship plans that's designed to give a district court a roadmap of where that court can expect the guardianship to go, at least in the first year after guardianship is granted. It is valuable information to any district court contemplating powers of guardianship and the extent to which those powers should be granted. As Justice Hardesty indicated, the Subcommittee on Rules has a considerable amount of work to do. We have identified a number of other rules where we believe instruction would be valuable, and also we are referring back to the original Guardianship Commission's recommendations for additional rules as a roadmap to proceed. But this would be a preliminary example of the work that we've done in order to establish what we hope will become known as the Nevada Rules of Guardianship Procedure. And with that, I would defer to Mr. Michelson for additional information or comments with the court's approval.
I would just echo what everyone said. It's been such a privilege serving with so many people who care so much about making things better here. And in particular, Dania, she's being modest. She's contributed heavily to the rules that are before us. One thing I would also point out for the rest of the court's knowledge is that many of the new laws, the statutes and legislation really didn't come into effect until January 1. And so some of them came into effect in the summertime last year, but a lot of them are only about 6 months old. And so part of what we're processing is just experience. We're just getting a little more, so much is new in the guardianship realm that it's been a little challenging on how to approach some of the rules because we're just getting our arms around, getting our arms around the new legislation. So I agree, we have a number of, I think, promising and compelling rules that can come in and make things even easier, and I think they'll be forthcoming in the next 6 months or so.
Thank you.
We thank the individuals who have come forward at this time. We'd like to open it up to anyone in the public who wishes to come forward. Again, please state your name and pertinent comments, and if we try to keep it within 3 minutes. Does anyone in Carson City wish to speak? Please come forward.
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here this afternoon. My name is Jennifer Richards. I'm an attorney with Washoe Legal Services, and I primarily work as counsel for proposed protected persons. I would be happy to submit a written letter, but I missed the deadline, so I thought I would come here and convey some of my concerns in person. In reviewing the forms, the first item that I found concerning was the admonishment of rights of proposed protected person. It's my belief that this form violates the due process rights of the person. Once a petition is filed, the person has a right to an attorney. And having that form filled out by someone else invades the rights and role of counsel for the person. In addition, I could find no basis in the statute for having such a form. And it usurps an important and essential function of counsel in meeting with the person and going over those rights initially. So I would ask that if the commission and persons are considering having such a form, have the counsel for the person submit that form, not some other individual. In addition, I was concerned with the form for the initial care plan. While it is very detailed, I was concerned that it asks for quite a bit of medical information. And I think the court should look closely at that because we need to balance the right of privacy for the proposed protected person and confidentiality, which is also recognized under the Bill of Rights. And perhaps some of that information might be filed as confidential instead of on that form, which would be available to the public. The other form that I had a concern regarding was the physician certificate. My concern is that it calls for the doctor to make a legal determination as to whether the client can participate in a hearing or mediation. The doctor's assessment, in our opinion, should focus on the medical detriment or harms that may be suffered by the proposed protected person in participating in the proceedings. And we should give counsel for the proposed protected person some deference and latitude in providing opportunities for that person to participate in hearings. The concern in practice that we run into is kind of a circular logic of, well, they don't have capacity. But that's exactly the issue that we're here to determine under the statute is incapacity. So I think that's a very careful line that we should walk in the physician certificate and something that should be looked at. Additionally, the form for the order appointing a guardian over the estate in person.
Finish your comment.
Thank you, Your Honor. I would ask that it incorporate by reference the entire statute under NRS 159. We've had some issues in other counties getting orders to show cause when the guardian fails to comply with terms of the statute, such as moving a resident without notification. And because the order does not refer back to the statute, there's no mechanism for enforcement in front of some justices. Your Honor, those are some of the things that we've identified at Washoe Legal Services, and we appreciate the time to comment. Thank you.
Thank you. And the court will be providing additional time for written comments. Anyone else in Carson City? Seeing none. In Las Vegas, Justice Pickering, do we have anyone who wishes to address the court?
No, we do not.
At this time, Justice Hardesty, any closing remarks you'd like to make? And I'll ask Madam Clerk for a two-week date to provide us with additional comments at your conclusion.
Thank you, Chief. Thanks to all who presented here today. I appreciate it. In light of the comments by Ms. Richards, I appreciate the Chief extending the written comment period by a couple of weeks so that we can get any additional observations that Ms. Richards or others may have before we this matter is submitted to the court for decision. One final point I would request is that once the those additional comments are provided, I'll ask the chairs of the two subcommittees, especially Mr. Berthold, to comment, provide a response with respect to the observations that have been made by Ms. Richards today and perhaps additional comments she may submit or others, so that the court has the full benefit of the various issues that surround the forms and the concerns that were expressed with respect to those four forms. Lastly, Chief, I would ask that the court act on this as soon as possible after the comment period is closed so that we can place these in force as quickly as possible.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, if we can have a two-week date for written comments to be extended. Okay. Written comments will be extended 2 weeks from today's date. They should be sent to the clerk of the court of the Nevada Supreme Court, reference ADKT 507, as to creation of a commission on the study of administration of guardianship. And if they're more specified. If they're more specific as to rules, please include them. But two additional weeks. And we'll be happy to review and, as Justice Hardesty stated, take a look at them. This is a work in progress. We want to make this program for guardianships the best we can make it to benefit the people of the state of Nevada. With that, this public hearing is closed. We stand in recess.